Let me pour tea into the holes of your grief. Add drops to your eyes now emptied of tears. Wrap your wounds in gauze soaked overnight in my deepest concern. Let me wring out the sleeves of your thick woolen jumper, now drenched in the song of your mourning. Let me peg it to dry in what little sun there is. Let me utter sounds that comfort, make tea that soothes. Let me know all I can say is, I'm so sorry. Here, drink this tea. Then the sorry thing again. Let me wave you off from the base of the grampians of your anguish. Fill your backpack with squares of dark chocolate and emergency dried fruit nourishment. You will need it along the way. Know as you climb, your calves will burn with the lactic acid of your despair. Breathe into your pain. Know it will recede. Sit down a while and drink from the tartan thermos of your healing, and when you reach your cairn, lean into the wind. Look down into your valley of loss. Marvel at the distance you have covered, at how far you have come.
Well, hello again from Beyond the Estuary. That poem that you've just heard that I opened with today was a poem by poet Ali Whitelock. And the title of that poem, which is also the title of her new collection, which I've just recently acquired, is called The Lactic Acid in the Calves of Your Despair. I did play one of Ali's poems in an earlier podcast, the poem This Is Cold, Don't Be Afraid. I think she's a terrific poet, and she reads that very beautifully, of course. Perhaps an appropriate poem now at a time when I haven't said much in the past few weeks about the loss, I suppose, involved in COVID-19, the thousands of lives that have been lost, thousands more people who have been affected by their loss. And sometimes poets, I suppose, have a way of reaching out to people who have lost, and being able to put into words what it is that loss and grief do to people, I suppose. And I recommend her poems anyway, to look out for some more of her poems. I find a very very good poet, very moving. Another, just on that sort of same sort of theme of poems, poets reaching out, another poet that I came across recently, American poet, a young poet, Doug Paul Case, and he's written this particular poem called Love Letter to Angerta Perron, and it's about, I suppose it's about a poet really in a gay bar and seeing a drag queen get up on the stage and dance like mad. And he describes it as sort of almost a spiritual experience to see somebody, a human being, sort of happy to be who they are and proud to be who they are. He sees it almost as a connection to God. And listen anyway and tell me what you think about this poem.
Love Letter to Argenta Perone. Lady, I don't know shit about small-town, low-budget drag culture. Rainbow frills super-glued over your hips, tucked into matte black spandex. But when you jumped onto that table, belting King Jesus like you meant it, like the world, every electric one of us meant to deliver ourselves to the Lord Almighty himself, but what, forgot, and somehow ended up here, the only gay bar in Bloomington, Indiana, I quaked. I hollered as everyone was, as everyone who'd never known the courage of a man in a dress wants to know that, yes, finally, here, like everywhere, is a place to lift your head to prayer's elation, to the everlasting grace three Long Islands and a man simply cannot provide. Mama, when my lungs gave out, finally, after your bow, all I wanted was for you to hold me, tighter than a priest ever has, tighter than the boy who left me for the bartender at the place across town with the cyborg taxidermy deer heads. All I wanted was to know my own breath again, to know it can grow stable, organically, or by whatever light you've seen, to know how. Love letter to our gen.
So, that poem, I suppose, is, as I said, the poet sort of almost having a spiritual experience, seeing somebody stand up to be themselves and not to be ashamed of that. And I'm going to finish today with another poem that's perhaps a little bit connected. This is a poem from my collection, which is just being released, Songs of the Godforsaken. And if you look on my website now, you'll see that's now available for purchase, if you'd like to purchase that. This particular poem is called Eudaimonia. Now, eudaimonia is a Greek word that's often translated as happiness, but I don't think that's a sufficient translation, really. It comes from two Greek words, apparently. Eu, which is meaning good or goodness, and daimon, meaning a minor deity. So it's almost that idea of connecting goodness to a deity, that sort of divine sort of goodness, which I suppose connects with that poem that that you just heard from Doug Paul Case, connection with the divine through a human being. Anyway, I'll let this poem speak for itself. It's really just about noticing how human beings, all of us, sort of reach out for something beyond us, perhaps, something bigger than us, particularly a time like this, I think, when we've been so locked down, we yearn really to connect with something that's bigger than us, that means a lot more than just the ordinary mundane. So this is Eudaimonia. In Hollywood Nails, Valerie lays down her hands like a winning hand of poker, prepared for transfiguration. At the end of Ocean Boulevard, Trevor slips Bruno off his leash like an edgy sprinter, hoping for enlightenment. In 19 Currajong Crescent, Monica types into Google search like an early explorer expecting omniscience. In Bourke Street Lotto, Grant scans his credit card like a nervous bride overdue for abundance. In Bell Street Bakery, Scott eyes a vanilla slice like a contestant in Married at First Sight, anticipating happiness. Human beings being human, expecting transcendence. So that's where I'll leave it today. Please feel free again to make any comments in the post under these podcasts. And please go to my books page and if you can, support the sales of my new chapbook, Songs of the Godforsaken. And I'll see you next time. Thank you.